Okay, so today we're going to continue our study of the sugya of whether it's filas d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, and we're going to first of all conclude just our analysis of the machlokes Rambam and Ramban per se, and then move on from there. So we had already mentioned we framed the debate, we read through the Ramban carefully, and noticed that there's some really intriguing and important aspects of the Ramban that are sometimes overlooked and really worth focusing on. And then we discussed the question as to, or we began to open the question as to sort of the relationship between the Rambam and the Ramban. I'd like to frame it a little bit differently, or a little bit more specifically than we did previously, and to use that as a frame for our conversation. So I think that with regard to the Nikudas HaMachlokas, the primary element in the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, the question, one way to frame the question is, to what extent or just how distant are they from one another? So, for example, a position that I'm sure many of us, probably all of us, are familiar with, but we will have to circle back to at a different time, is the Rav's analysis of the Rambam, the level of Svara, at least. The Rav famously pulls the Rambam toward the Ramban, because the Rav's basic claim is that, the Ramban, he stresses Ramban's position that Tefillah B'Yitzhara is Echiv Min HaTorah, assuming that's the primary position of the Ramban, even though it's somewhat unclear in the Ramban himself. And B, the Rav then claims, as I'm sure all of you are familiar, that even the Rambam fundamentally agrees that Tefillah is only an obligation Min HaTorah B'Yitzhara, and the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban is to how regularly one finds oneself in crisis. According to the Ramban, a crisis is defined as an external crisis that we face from time to time, and according to the Rambam, we are constantly in a state of existential crisis. We are lonely men of faith, if you want to use that kind of language, and on some level the existential angst is essential to the human condition, and therefore the Rav on that basis claims that Tefillah is a chiyuv in HaTorah. This connects to, he explains that's the Rambam is really thinking. He uses this to explain the essence of Tefillah, and it goes to his theory as well that according to that Rav Soloveitchik maintains that Bakasha, among Shevach Bakasha Adaya, Bakasha really is the essence of Judaism, that sense of dependency upon God, which flows from, which the Rambam says explicitly, and the Rav claims that that's connected to his own view, the Rambam's own view, that Tefillah is a chiyuv min HaTorah because of this point of dependency upon Kadosh Baruch Hu and this notion of Eitzara. So I mentioned the Rav here, and because on the level of Svara, what he's really doing is he's staking out a position in the Ramban and then pulling the Rambam over in the direction of the Ramban, thereby sort of closing the gap analytically in terms of how we frame the debate. So the question that I'd like to continue to explore is just how distant the Ramban and the Rambam are, but in particular to focus most of our attention in the other direction. Are there readings of the Ramban which pull the Ramban closer over to the view of the Rambam in particular? Last time we mentioned one, which is the Aruch HaShulchan. The claim of the Aruch HaShulchan is, he says, it's inconceivable that tefillah is anything but a chiyuv d'oraita. And in fact, he claims that the Ramban agrees with this, and that the Ramban really agrees. After all, it can't not be the case that the Rambam is right, the tefillah is a chiyuv min HaTorah, and that in fact it's one of the underlying principles of the Torah. We compared it to the way that the Bahag's view about emunah is generally understood, or of Cook's analysis of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so forth, other mitzvot that you sort of turn them on their head. When the Rambam doesn't count mitzvot Yishev Eretz Yisrael, it's not because he thinks it's not a mitzvah, it's because it's so foundational that it cannot be limited to just any old mitzvah among the various chiyuvim. So that's one way to put the Ramban over to the Rambam, and that's a very strong way to do so, is by claiming that actually the Rambam fundamentally agrees that tefillah is an obligation, the Torah not only be tzara, but at all times. Rav Moshe sort of has a twist on this, in his own way. He has a fascinating tshuva, Nora Chaim Chelek Beis Siman Chafei, which is really about the recitation. It would seem, so he doesn't say it explicitly, but it seems like the question has something to do with whether or not it's permissible for a school to hold, or someone, a child to attend a school in which the Pledge of Allegiance is included. Is there anything objectionable about that? Which is a really interesting kind of question. And Rav Moshe's thesis in the course of that tshuva, I gave it to you on the source, you can take a look on your own, is that he essentially claims that all agree that there's a basic core obligation of tefillah min HaTorah, Here he doesn't go so far as to say every single day, but at minimum, be'et sara, or any time of need, when we need something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an obligation to turn to him. And he suggests that this applies not only to Jews, but quite surprisingly, to Gentiles as well. It's an amazing tshuva, highly recommended. Actually, Jonathan Moses turned mine to remind me of this tshuva last year at one point. And it's an absolutely fascinating read. The question is, what's the basis for it? So Rav Moshe claims that the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, again, do not include explicitly a mitzvah of Emunah, but his thesis, is that they presuppose Emunah. There's actually some discussion about this. If a Gentile, based on the Rambam, if a Gentile observes the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, but not on the basis of requirement, but because they believe it's ethical behavior, but not drawing from revelation, whether or not that applies. I think it's in the Raman Hachos Malachim Perak Ches Halacha Yud Aleph offhand. There's some discussion as if it's yourself. So the discussion goes to the whole question of natural law. Rabbi Boich claims that the Rambam denies natural law in Judaism on the basis of his reading of this Rambam. Others disagree on various counts, but be that as it may, the point is that Rav Moshe is claiming that Emunah is the foundation. He's assuming that it is indeed the foundation of the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and any core, even elementary notion of Emunah must necessarily include not only belief that God exists on some level, but it denies the watchmaker's theory. It's not a deist's God, but rather it's an active one that intercedes and one that's available for us to turn to at times of difficulty. Maybe not even the narrow or Yisara, but even something wider. He talks about the Vakesh Parnasa, Rufua, the Choldavar. He says it's a Davar Pashat that's included as the foundation of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, in which case it applies to Jews and Gentiles, in which case there's an obligation on the basis of Emunah for someone in any significant need, however we define significant, but even Rufua, Parnasa, etc., to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an amazing thesis with all sorts of far-reaching ramifications, and highly recommended Shabbos reading. It's in Orach Chaim Chelek Beis Siman Chaf Hei, 225. Much room. It's on the sheet. It's right there. It's on the sheet. I didn't give you the entirety of the shuv. I gave you the core. But he actually refers to the Rambam that I mentioned, and that he elaborates. So Ayin Sham, really worthwhile to read through the whole thing. But again, that's another way of sort of pulling the Ramban over toward the Rambam, and shares much in common with the Aruch HaShulchan, in the sense that, if on the one hand, if you read the Sugyot, you get the sense that Tefillah is only Drabanan. And it's the Rambam who's coming with the Kiddush and saying, no, La'avdo still remains in Mechi of Minat Torah, etc. But if you come from the basis of Svara, as the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe do, so they claim that just the opposite is so. That Tefillah is so obvious as a core of the Aruch HaShulchan would say Jewish practice, Rav Moshe would say universal human practice for the religious individual, that it must be that to one extent or another, the Ramban agrees that there is a biblical obligation, a chiyuv ben Torah, to engage in tefillah, which I think is really quite remarkable. So that's the first way to pull the Ramban over in the direction of the Ram, which will claim to say this on the level of chiyuv. There is, however, a second way to pull the Ramban over to the in the direction of the Ramban, albeit a much more moderate kind of way of doing so. And that is to claim that although the Ramban does not maintain that there is a chiyuv in HaTorah to engage in tefillah, he would agree that there is a kiyum min HaTorah, there is a chalos, as we would say, min HaTorah, of tefillah. So that if one chooses to engage in prayer, it's true they weren't obligated to do so unless there's an etzara, but even if it's not what the Ramban would otherwise describe as an etzara, nevertheless, there is a halachic significance. Halacha recognizes and gives status to this act of tefillah min HaTorah. There are other...
Can your attention, please? Does anybody see a black Mac laptop dumped yummy here? Please bring it to the office if you see it.
There are...
It's
you could say it's a reshut, something like that. You could say, it's another way of saying it. Reshut, now sometimes reshut can mean it's encouraged. I don't even mean to say that it's encouraged, although that might well be. It probably is. It's a chesed, the Ramban said. But the point is that a halacha recognizes the status, the stature of such an activity, and that has all sorts of halachic ramifications. The Baal
HaTanya, but he thinks it's a kiyum of tzviva.
A kiyum of, yeah, in other words, there's no obligation, there's no chiyuv of tefillah min haTorah, but avoda in the sense of tefillah is a halachic category that the Torah recognizes. There are all sorts of halachot that have halachic chaliyot, even though they're not obligations. Some of them derived from Svara, some of them might be derived from wherever they're derived. We don't necessarily know for certain where the Ramban gets this notion. Maybe that's also from Svara. We've been davening for thousands of years, so obviously there must be some efficacy or significance. The fact that it works, right? The fact that the Ramban says that it's a chesed, and the fact that we believe the Ramban would agree, presumably, that if someone turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a reshut and davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God listens in some way, you know, and ask all the same questions about when one's obligated to daven and what does it mean that God's listening and responds, etc. But whatever you say for the mandatory tefillah, it's hard to imagine the Ramban wouldn't agree with regard to a non-mandatory case, in which case the Ramban doesn't take much further to say that at least in terms of its having halachic significance as a category, that it exists. So this is stated explicitly by Rav Chaim. If you're on the source sheet, it's in source 9. It's really in the context of a larger discussion. But Rav Chaim writes explicitly, "Va'afilu lahacholkim al haramam haynu rak b'chiyuva aval kiyuma v'inyana havi l'chuli alma min haTorah." So Rav Chaim writes explicitly in Perek Dalet of Hilchot Tefillah, in the course of a larger discussion, that the Ramban would agree that there's a chalos min haTorah. The Emek Bracha, Rav Aryeh Pomeranchik. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Emek Bracha. It's a fantastic sefer, short, pithy pieces with great brisker lamdos on topics in Aruch Chaim. Really highly recommended sefer. He's got some others as well. He's got Nisbach. Okay, there you go. Really, really, really recommended. Really rich, short to the point. So you don't need if you have a little bit of time. It's just like a nice sefer. Just pick up and read even random pieces. Some great stuff. I think he has a sefer on Horios as well, which is also some really, really, really good stuff. That's in context where there isn't a ton written. And you can learn Horios for your Siyam with the Emek with Pomeranchik. I forget the offhand name. Sefer. He's got some really great stuff. So he quotes this as well from Rav Chaim, and he brings a proof. He says, this is in Hilchos Nesiyas Kapayim Os Aleph, and I'll share with you the context in just a moment. So as part of the course of that conversation, he says, "V'shamati kvod marino ha-rabino ha-gona v'bis n'divir shlita v'shem aviv maran ha-grach ali v'izal." So I assume he's talking about he heard from Rav Elvel, the name of Rav Chaim. "She'echad hikshalo." In other words, according to the Ramban, we know that the Gemara already says, and the Rambam codifies as well, Shulchan Aruch too, I think it's taken for granted there, it's in the Rambam, that if there's no context of avoda, then there's no halachic stature to nesias kapayim. That's why the Rambam wraps up lechot tefillah nesias kapayim, and there's a lot of evidence for that idea. So if that's the case, excuse me, so then how can Nesias Kapayim be Minat Torah, Big Vulin, or it's outside the Mikdash area, outside the Beis HaMikdash proper, outside Yerushalayim, whatever exactly Gvulin means, after all, there's no Avodah Minat Torah, right? It's not the Makom HaKorbanot, and there's no Chiyuv Tefillah Minat Torah, so how does Nesias Kapayim be Doraisa? Rather, it must be, right? We see that even if there's no Chiyuv Tefillah Minat Torah, once one engages in Tefillah that has halachic status, a biblical halachic status, and Memela as a result, so Nesias Kapayim has a Chalos Minat Torah as well. So he writes, "Hanu Dachal Chobasat Tefillah Demi Doraisa Laka Chiyuv Alesval, Inyan HaTefillah Havim Doraisa Lechule Amas." So building on Rav Chaim's Chiddush and offering halachic argument in favor for what Rav Chaim really says, at least in the course of the piece in Hilchos Tefillah, he presents as just a svara. The Emek Bracha offers this evidence in support of that position. Now, Rav Avadya has a tshuva. I didn't list it here. It's in Yabia Omer. It might be our Chaim Gimel Aleph. I forgot. I did not. I apologize. I don't have the source right here. And Rav Avadya quotes Rav Chaim, discusses it, and questions it. And basically what Rav Avadya says is he says, if you take a look at the Ramban's presentation, he says you can understand why you'd say such a thing, but if you take a look at the Ramban's presentation in the Sefer Mitzvah that we saw earlier, it's not so obvious that this is the case. He says it's just not, the Ramban basically, you know, calls it, he says, it's true, he says it's a chesed, but basically he says, lo avdo, avoda, means what? Something else entirely. So just, right, so what's the halachic basis, just in terms of scriptural source, right, texts? What is the basis of the Joshua that you were learning to this earlier? In other words, how do you know that there's a chalos min haTorah when the term avoda refers to serving God in other ways, in a wholehearted way? Right, so there's nothing to do with tefillah. So the word avodah is not pertinent. So therefore, just al pi halacha, how do we know, in a technical sense, that tefillah has a chalos min haTorah? So therefore, Rav Avadya actually questions this chiddush of Rav Chaim. I don't know if it's machlokes in the Ashkenazim and the Svardim or some. There's probably a larger analysis to be had here, but Rav Avadya is not so convinced. Now, this comes up as well in an interesting context, and the Emek Bracha made his observation, just to give a sense, offer a sense as to how this operates, in context of Magen Avraham, which is the last source here, source 11. So Magen Avraham in Simon Kuf Chav Ches, Siv Katzan Mem, discusses the halacha of a Kohen who is in the middle of davening and gets called up to the Duchen. So he writes, Kohen HaMasvala, in In Sham Kohen Acher, Posek Vole LaDuchan. So he says in the middle of davening and gets called up. This might even be, in theory, in the middle of Shmona Esrei, it would seem at first glance. He's in the middle of davening, which is seemingly a big chiddush. He says, if there's no other Kohen to get up into to Duchen, so Posek, he interrupts his davening, Vole LaDuchan, Ve'im Yisham Kohanim, Eino Posek. So according from the Radbaz, the Magen Avraham rules that Magen Avraham rules that he interrupts if it's Iyashari de Acher, essentially. There's no other Kohen available. So then the Magen Avraham adds, Velini read, Im Efshar Lomar, or the Ikhlamim, if you're going to say this, so the Mecholim Yan Tzarech Lahapsik. Right? Once you're going to say that you should interrupt, he should interrupt no matter what. In other words, even if there is another Kohen available, Haba Ba'asai. Right? Because what are we talking about here? We're talking about, right, the chiyuv for a Kohen, right, Kosovar, Kosma Yisrael, is a mitzvah saseh. So which comes first, tefillah, if we assume, like the Ramban, then it's only a chiyuv midrabanan, or brechas kohanim, which is a chiyuv min haTorah. So you, l'chora, the chiyuv min haTorah should trump the chiyuv midrabanan, even if there is another Kohen available, because he is over baaseh. Ugidel mizeh amru, b'kra'uhu laTorah, the posik mikriashma, you interrupt kriashma, b'chei mashma b'rashba, b'chei mashma etosos sota. So therefore the Magen Avraham claims that that he should interrupt no matter what. Once you accept the Radbaz, you should accept it all the way. So the Emek Bracha in that same larger piece quotes this Magen Avraham and says L'chor Tzarchin from Rav Chaim. He's not convinced that it's correct. Or it's what? Or is it, granted, you want to pass on like the Ramban that Tefillah is a chi of Midrabanan, but the chalos of Tefillah is still min haTorah. So once someone is engaged in davening, they're fulfilling a mitzvah min haTorah, there's a chalos min haTorah. So if there's a chalos min haTorah, is it so obvious that he should nevertheless stop for the purpose of birchas kohanim? And therefore, he uses Rav Chaim to raise a question against the Magen Avraham. This is the context, I think, in which Rav Avadya as well pushes back. Now, if you stop and think about it, I'm not certain, I think this also might help us to refine what exactly Rav Chaim was claiming for the Ramban. In other words, just because, as we're thinking about, just because there's a chalos tefillah min haTorah, it doesn't necessarily mean that it rises to the level of rivaling.
It's chalos versus a different thing where there's an actual chiyuv.
Where there's a chiyuv, and also, does that mean, according to the Ramban, is Rav Chaim claiming, I don't think he's claiming this, that there's a chiyuv min haTorah? In other words, there's a difference between something have a halachic status min haTorah and being a fulfillment within Rishut. So I'm not sure those are exactly the same thing, yeah. Right? They're just because something has halachic status, a shtar has halachic status min haTorah. It's not a right mitzvah. What?
Like, okay, we can't stop
making
a shtar right now in the middle of a...
Right, yeah. Just because something has a chalos min haTorah doesn't mean it even rises the level of a kiyum min haTorah, especially, unless you say misvara, but especially in light of Avadya's observation that there's no lavdo means something else for the Ramban, so then, or it's an asmachta or whatever, so then it's kind of hard to say. So it's not 100% clear whether or not Rav Chaim and whether or not basically put it differently, Magen Avraham is a proof against against Rav Chaim. It might still be consistent with Rav Chaim, and therefore there's no tzarachim. But I just wanted to offer a sense as to sort of how this line of argument may go. So just to summarize, we've seen is you have the basic machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban. The question is how distant really are they from one another? The Rav pulling the Rambam in the direction of the Ramban, of the Esara piece in the Ramban, and then either on the level of Chiyuv or even on the level of Chalos, at least, if not a Kiyum, but at minimum a Chalos, we see now Adarach HaShachan Rav Moshe at first, and then Rav Chaim, Rav Pomeranchik against Rav Avadya, on that second level, whether or not there's Chalos Manat Torah and the relevance to Birchas Kohanim. Good. Okay, so that's in terms of the Rambam and the Ramban. What I'd like to do is now to move to our second Sorshi, or Sefaria. And if you take a look at the sheet entitled Hakdama L'Mitzvah Tefillah Bet Tefillah K'Mitzvah T'Midei B'Mishnas HaRambam, so I wanted to take the opportunity to try to get as many people to open up the stock as possible so we can have tons and tons of opens. You know, it says how many times it's been open. So I want everyone just email it around, post on Facebook, and ask all your friends to open up this stock so you can get the highest number of opens on Safari. Okay, I guess that hasn't been tried yet. But I have one with like 150s.
Well, there's a thing also you can click like.
You can click like. Yeah, someone liked my source sheet on Man's Source in the Universe. For some reason, my All for You Book source sheets haven't been as popular as some of the English language ones. Hope they're not annoyed at me for publishing. Okay. So much stuff without English. Okay. Good. So I just want to... We started to allude to this, but I wanted to unpack this a little bit. To push this forward. So we mentioned that there's a basic problem in the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam is not clear that there's a mitzvah on a daily basis, and we inquired as to how the Rambam in fact knows that there's a chiyuv min haTorah every single day, and we noticed that in mitzvah hey, the Rambam, in asay hey, the Rambam kind of leaves that vague and even gives the example of some shomam talking about how anyone could just come to the Beis HaMikdash daven, and we said, well, that's not necessarily b'chol yom. Number one. Number two, the Rambam has all these proofs against the Rambam. We're constantly saying that tefillah is midrabanan, who has been at midrabanan twice on daf aleph and aleph in bracho, once in sukkah daf lam and chesam and aleph. And so, what did the Rambam do with all these texts? And I wanted to examine this a little bit and to develop a little bit more fully this particular a particular mahalach, a particular thesis within the Rambam. And I think it opens up a totally different perspective on tefillah, and I think also sheds light on and serves as a sort of a way into some of the sugyot in Perek Tefillat HaShachar proper, and this gives us another angle or perspective into the nature of its tefillah. So I wanted to look at the Mefarshim on really both these questions. Number one, how does the Rambam know B'chol Yom? And number two, how do we resolve some of the questions of the Ramban? And the Mefarshim struggle with both. If you take a look at source number one, the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah, right at the beginning of Hilchot Tefillah, notes this problem, and we had noticed, we had mentioned as well, that the Ramban says something similar within his presentation of the Rambam in the course of ultimately what is a rejection of the Rambam. So in case the Mishnah basically says, that's what Rishon Mitzvah says, I'm in a Torah, the Svala B'chol Yom, Mimashak Asa Vavadim Asa Hashem, Vavod Azo Yi Tzricha, Tzricha She Tiyah B'chol Yom. She Im Ina B'chol Yom, Ulai Na Volomar, She Pam Achas B'chol Yom Av. Vezem Mimashak Lo Yisbelehu Hadas. Right? So, Yisbelehu, right? So, Im Kina Korcha Chachim Fu Lisvala B'chol Yom, right? And so on and so forth. So in other words, the Mishnah basically says, you know what? In Achinami, there's nothing textual here that indicates the mitzvah to daven every single day. But what are you going to say? You're not going to daven every second. He doesn't say that, but presumably that's implausible. You're not going to say a daven once in a lifetime. That's equally impossible. Okay? So the compromise is sort of that you have to do it every single day.
I mean, if it's just or why not once a week? Like, how does he get these like extreme bookends of every moment or, you know, once in your lifetime or once a day?
Right. Tzarechian, I'm not so sure. He's struggling with the question. Point well taken. So that's one suggestion. There are others who try to give more concrete answers to this question. So the Kiryas Sefer in Mabit in the beginning of Hilchot Tefillah in Perek Aleph. So he offers an actual textual basis, or at least a textual remez. He says, "Mashakas of Rav Zal de Minatora b'chol yom chayav, efshar disomech asofi dekra." Maybe it's the end of that very same pasuk in Parshas Ves, Parshas Ekev. "Dechsevu v'irachesach mechavias meimecha v'gomer dehut sorech kol yom hachinam yitzfilah b'chol yom." So what does the Kiryas Sefer say? So the Kiryas Sefer says, well, uveirachasach machavias meimecha. So that's right. Generally speaking, it's true that the Gemara says that you'll die on right after 3 days. But okay, but most people would like to eat and drink a little bit each and every day. That's the notion of the fasting. So therefore, the pasuk hints to at least this idea of b'chol yom. And he actually uses this to try to explain where the Rambam gets it from. So the other thing is interesting to think about, especially according to the Rav's thesis, that it's a bakasha centered, but it's if you go with sort of the bakasha, even the more mundane bakasha, not what the Rav says of the Rambam, so it doesn't work out perfectly, but a more mundane bakasha, you can imagine such a thing. So maybe, but at the same time, you kind of say, and remember, it's not just that pasuk; it's wherever it says avoda. So it's vavata mishlam sheichem. Really, that's equally a source for the chiyuv of tefillah. In fact, for the Rambam, the Rambam in some places quotes that as the primary source despite this sifrei, because again Ula Avdo is not a clear cut C voice, so it's not clear that that's necessarily the controlling pasuk. Now I saw as well that I saw quoted, I didn't have it in front of me, but I saw an excerpt from the Kilas Yaakov. And Kilas Yaakov, the Sipler in Brachot Siman Chafhei, also struggles with this question, and he develops a thesis. He says, anytime there's a default mitzvah in the Torah, we don't know how often it's to be done, there's a sort of a general principle that happens once a day. That's his thesis. He says, the Torah says you have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, it doesn't, right? So it could connect it to the morning and night, right? Presumably that's going to be right, that's right. One example, the cycler. He says, Zechirat Amalek. Zechor in Asher Asalacha Amalek, Baderach B'tzeit Chemi Mitzrayim. New. How often? Oh, so it's printed in the Sidurans. For a shard scroll. Okay, so every day. So, and he develops this, and he brings real evidence for it in context of Amalek in particular. If you take a look, speaking of Dami Rosh Hashiva, Yonason Sachs has a...
Well, it's past my time.
Well, it doesn't matter. So Rav Yonason Sacks has a nice sefer nochot Inyanei Tefillah, Kriyat Shema Tefillah. It's one of his sorin that he's published, and he has a nice piece where he summarizes some of these. He mentions the stipler as well. So these are, I think, some stabs, some attempts to try to explain it. But again, I think that there's sort of an outstanding question and tension here, and the fact that Avodah is so open-ended and that the time is not explicit in the proof text, and even the Rambam himself is sort of ambivalent about it a little bit, certainly in Sefer Mitzvot in particular, I think opens the possibility that, and again, it's difficult to define, but on some level, yes, maybe B'chol Yom, concretely, but that the concrete manifestation of B'chol Yom is not the be-all and end-all, or sort of the entire story of this mitzvah. And the suggestion would be something along the lines that although it's true that the Rambam, on whatever basis, concluded Kesef Mishnah or whatever it may be, that the obligation that the physical act of tefillah takes place once on a daily basis, that may not be the essential core of the mitzvah, and that may be sort of an outward manifestation of a more essential mitzvah of Va'avatem es Hashem Elokeichem, which on some level is really a daily consciousness. In other words, the mitzvah of tefillah of avodah is really Va'avatem also. You should live a life of avodat Hashem. What are the characteristics of a life of avodat Hashem? Well, the typical Oved Hashem will daven Hashem on a regular basis, right? Once a day, b'chol yom, now again, once every 2 days. The question remains, but it's less acute, because really the point is that fundamentally, avodah is a mitzvah to mivid. It's a mindset, it's an approach to life, which has manifestation, maybe with regard to tefillah, first and foremost, but also, as the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvot, and as the Sifri explored the possibility, maybe with regard to Talmud Torah as well, or Korbanot, or there could be other manifestations at different times in history and in different environments of the Oved Hashem. But the core on some level is this notion of a mitzvah tzmitit, which is manifest in practice at a particular point over the course of the day.
It works out consistently with
a chiyuv to learn, where you have a chiyuv, like the way we fulfill that is yomam v'layla, so you do kriya in the morning and night.
Huh?
And also is the chiyuv to try, the way we manifest that also is like, you know, once it's supposed to be part of our mindset, there's a morning and night chiyuv to make it tamid.
Good.
And that's even how they explain tamid in the Gemara is about Tam Torah.
Baruch Shekivanu. So if you jump down to sources 5 and 6, it's for no coincidence that as Donnie was suggesting the idea, I quickly cut and paste the Gemara Menachas onto the source sheet, and here you have it. Right? So the Gemara has the famous discussion about Talmud Torah, right? So, and it discusses how regularly is the obligation. There are different opinions as whether it really is a constant obligation, right? Or it's an obligation just Yomam V'Layla. But what's most interesting is that it's drawn from the Pasuk of Lechem HaPanim, that's the Kansuites of Menacho, right? Lechem HaPanim Lefanai Tamin. Pasuk and Emor, I believe. And so the question is what Tmidut looks like. Does Tmidut look like literally learning at every single moment? Does Tmidut look like learning Kriyat Shema Shachrit V'Arvit or Perek Echad Shachrit, Perek Echad Arvit? Now there it's bookending the day, so it's a little bit different. It's not actually quite exactly the same, but right, it's not surprising, I think, that again, Avodah, and you have the Rambam and the Sifrei and all of that, I think it works out nicely. And this is, of course, something that could help us to explain a well-known position of Rabbeinu Tam. It's a popularly quoted Tosa and Brachon Dafidah from Ben, Surah 6, asking the question in context of a yeshiva b'sukkah about what the difference is between Talmud Torah and sukkah. Why is it when I leave my sukkah and I come back in and have a new meal, I have to make a new bracha? Whereas when it comes to Talmud Torah, that I need to, right, that my bracha to Torah in the morning lasts the entire day. Tomer Maishna mi sukkah, Shetarach Levercha, Kol Suda V'Suda U'Suda Leishev B'Sukkah, V'Yishom Reshani Torah, She'inu Mi'ah Yish Da'ato, D'Chol Sha'a Adam Mechuyav Lomo, D'Chsev V'Kisa Bo Yom V'Layla, V'Havi Kimo Yoshev Kol Yom V'Lo Hefzeh, K'Val Chilo B'Sukkah Yisha'a Kivua. Now, again, the question is, really? Is that literally true? After all, right, I am engaged in other activities. Is Rabbeinu Tam really, 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 literally passing as a chiyuv to learn every single day? It's every single moment of the day. It's possible, but the majority view in the Rishonim is not that way. Is that we paskin that Miyikra Hadin, the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, is Kriyashma or Parakecha Chachris Ve'arvis. So, assuming that he holds like the majority view among the Rishonim, Hashem Shah probably in the Sugyot as well, so how do you understand this? But again, if the point is that the Chiyuv Talmud Torah means to be Elomed Torah, or as we would say in this context, to be Enoved Hashem through the medium of Tefillah, is a constant obligation which finds manifestation on a regular daily basis to learn as much as I can, or to learn when I'm available, or to learn at least during the bookends of my day at certain critical junctures, so then we can begin to understand this classic shita of Rabbeinu Tam as well. And there's further evidence for this idea, even if we just circle back to tefillah, to this idea with regard to tefillah in the thought of the Rambam himself. So that, for example, we mentioned the list of the mitzvot asay, that the beginning, the first core, let's say the first 15 or so mitzvot asay that the Rambam lists in the Sefer HaMitzvot are all oriented toward the themes of Sefer Ahava. And the theme of Sefer Ahava is to bring that sense of love of God into our daily lives on a regular basis, right? And these are include many mitzvot tmidiyot. First one is Leida Sheish Sham Eloka, right? That's a mitzvah tmidit. Liachado Yichad Hashem, right? Mitzvah tmidit. Lahavo, right? Liyira, right? Lidov Kabo, Lihishava Bishmo, Lihidamo Bitrachav, Kidoshim Shemayim, etc. Lomo Torah, Likshor Tfilin, Tzitzis, Mezuzah, arguably, really, on some level, all the mitzvahs that are included in Sefer Ahava of the Rambam and included on this list of the first 15 of Sefer HaMitzvos are all oriented toward exactly that, to create a consciousness. For the Rambam, it's also it's not just reflective of the attitude or the consciousness, the religious approach of the Oved Hashem, but it's also to foster, all right, a constant awareness of God, right? The language of the Rambam and Mezuzahs, we'll see, is similar somewhat to Shofar as well. So it's to foster it, but the point is the same for our purposes, which is it's meant to foster a constant consciousness about what it means, in our case, to be an Oved Hashem. And in Sefer Ahava, interestingly enough, in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvah, or to Mishnah Torah, the Rambam actually writes the Kwasuk, he quotes, Sefer Ahava B'Shem Hashem Kalalam, Mahafti Torah Techa Kol Hayom Hisichati. Okay, and so you don't have to sing it to get the idea, although certainly that helps. Now, you might say, okay, this is a nice theory in the Rambam, but who ever said it? So I will tell you, it was Rav Yaakov of Karlin in the Karen Ora. The Karen Ora has an exceedingly long essay in Brachos and Daf Yoma and Aleph. In fact, I stumbled upon this by accident. I was looking at something else, looking for something else, and in the course of a long conversation about Nyanei Kriya Shema, he then has a little bit of an aside about Tefillah, and he says exactly this. And he writes, Od Ra'isa Yidaber Ma'at B'din Tefillah Yihavi Min HaTorah Yimin HaTorah U'mid Rabbanan Yikol Rishon Miskim Tefillah D'Rabbanan. The overwhelming majority position is that Tefillah is only rabbinic. U'chifashta Sugyos HaShas Cham Mekomos. The Gemara is that the Ramban quotes Aval HaRamam Zal Menav B'minyan Ha'asin Mikra Dula Abde B'chalvav Chem Zal Tefillah Kedi Yisa B'shas Tefillah. The Gemara in Tanis that Avod HaShemelev refers to Tefillah U'gisifrei U'vri Yerushalmi the Chasav Huzal Ki Min HaTorah Yimla Zman El Pam Achas B'chol Yom. On the Farshim Minolei Had Zman B'chol Yom. How does the Ramam know? By Melechem Mishnah, right, and so on and so forth. V'nira li lomar davar bazel yashiv gam kein kol hasagos Ramban zal Rambam alze. He says we can not only answer the problem of the source for kol yom, but we can also resolve the question as to the proofs of the Ramban against the Rambam. The zehu she shimana listen vidalacha, right? Which means another way of saying this is a chiddush. Pay attention. Right? If you're sleeping until now, it's time to wake up. In truth, the tefillah mitzvah of tefillah does not have a particular time. Elazmana kol yimei ha'adam. Kimahava v'hayira ifnei Hashem baruchu. Even internally, those mitzvos are mitzvos tmidios. It's not true about tefillah. Right? It's tefillah who loved bechol tzorcho. Right? Shalaz enemar bechol levavchem ki tzorchei haadam hagashmiyim ki ma'amazon va'parnasa in krovim lelev yosim mikol yivarem shalaz enemar loved bechol levavchem. You should request, ask for all of your needs from God. It's implausible to say that a person literally has to daven all day long. Right? We all know, right? That Talmud Torah. We all know, or a good nefesh ha'chaim tell me that, right? We all know that Talmud Torah is more important than tefillah. He claims, right? And that's despite the fact that Talmud Torah, in theory, is a constant obligation. So if that's true for Talmud Torah, so then obviously we're not supposed to be davening every single moment of every single day. Al-Karchach Mispala, we're all kin. Mispala pa'am achas b'chol yom yatsa chovas mitzvazos b'chol yimei chayav. V'ha'ed al-zem masham Rabbi Yochanan. The clarion call of this reading of the Rambam is the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Levai she yispala adam kol yom kulo. Or halavai. Right, Ulevai thinks language of the Gemara. Right? Where does Rabbi Yochanan get off saying this? Right? What is right? This idea that if only a person should daven all day long, it's not just a nice idea, but it is a halachic truism. Well, the Yadanu Ashorash is that we know not the root for this. And he goes on to say, and this is less clear, but he basically uses this to resolve the Ramban's kashas on the Rambam, right? Doesn't the Gemara constantly say that mitzvah atuos only mitzvah midrabanan? Essentially, what the other achronim will say, the Kesef Mishnah, and the Gilad Esther, and Lev Sameach, all the achronim, either at the beginning of the Chol Tefillah, or the classic commentaries that are printed on the page of the Sefer HaMitzvah, so basically what they all try to say is that, well, according to the Rambam, there's all a case where he davened a little bit. Maybe the Hirhur, if that works min HaTorah, or he said a word of Tefillah, or a couple words of Tefillah, he was Yotzei Chiyuv, the Chiyuv of Tefillah min HaTorah. And the problem with that is that it doesn't sound like that from those sugyot, especially Shevach, Bakasha, Hodaya, to insert into each and every one of those sugyot, that really that individual, oh, he was Yotzei Chiyuv min HaTorah, what it meant is that he didn't daven the whole, you know, the whole gestalt of, or the whole, right, the whole Takana Chazal of Tefillah. That's a difficult approach. That's what the whole Slew of Achronim says. But the Karen Ora says, well, I have a different answer, which is interesting and not so obvious, but I think if it's right, it works. It obviously works beautifully with this whole idea. V'achariyad b'rem v'emes ha'ilum you shove in kol kushiyos Rambam's eye. It says, resolve all the problems of the Ramban, throw all of them out in the garbage, or the Rambam has an answer to the whole slew of them all in one shot. Mashiach shem yisafik yisfal v'chol dinachozer mispalel v'lav ha'achim zeh kushiyo kol kach v'chol sheh yisfalel pa'machas bayom afilu arvis levad kar niftar mikol yom sha'achrav midei chiyuv ha'torah v'sulei havei al-sivu d'rabana. Right, but then he goes on and says that he says even if a person has a suffix, he says basically, that the obligation is not, again, the obligation of davening the chol yom is a manifestation of a larger approach. So it's possible to argue, again, it's not so obvious, this is not an obvious point, but it's plausible to begin to make the argument that if a person did not daven on a particular day, but he's the person who didn't do so because they were too busy, they were distracted, whatever, I'm an Oved Hashem, I constantly engage in tefillah, just didn't have the opportunity this particular day, did I really not fulfill the mitzvah of tamidus of being an Oved Hashem, of being an Ohev Hashem? If I didn't go, you know, there was one day I couldn't go to the mountaintop, I'm sorry, right? So I didn't go to see, you know, the peak of the Alps because I wasn't feeling up for it. Does that mean I'm not an Ohev Hashem? Okay? Arguably, but it's not, at least not entirely obvious. So that could also be, again, not so obvious, but that perhaps can be used in one fell swoop to answer all the Ramban's kashas on the Rambam. So God willing, next time we'll wrap this up, but that's really the core thesis. And what I want to do is just to mention a couple of other, just to frame some other halachic areas that this really opens up, and especially ones that we're going to encounter in Tefillah Shachar proper. Yeah.
He also said the idea of teshlumim. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. If we're talking about a relationship, then you have teshlumim because it works, as opposed to either you did it or you didn't do it.
Right, 100%. So teshlumim is going to be one of them.
Right.
It's 100%. So it's right there. Shkach.